It's on the cassette. It's on the cassette tape. Everybody got a cassette player, don't they?
Right, goes that far back, right?
Yeah, I remember I was on a radio show in 88 during the month that May died, and we were out there with her buddies, and they had a radio show, Tom Davis, who had the main bookstore, and they were on, it was the first time I heard of it in America. They were liberals, and they were now being labeled. This was during the George Bush Sr. and the stupid guy who wore a tank. Olivia, his sister was an actor. Dukakis. So it was the Dukakis Bush election.
Olivia.
And I was up there.
Olivia Dukakis.
Olivia Dukakis.
Olivia Dukakis.
Right. And so
no,
here we are there on the radio in October. They were telling me and the audience, they were talking about this stupid anti-liberal thing that was starting to become a meme. And May, they had been dealing with it, May and Tom, in their world for a few years. But it's interesting, this whole conspiracy theory appellate that's used to smear people, I was back there when the term wasn't there, and the anti-Bob forces developed the term conspiracy theory, and actual historical research that May does, if it doesn't sound like the bullshit they learn in school, it's all conspiracy theory, and it's just history, other reports. So it's very bad that these kids grow up with that meme.
Yes, very bad. Absolutely. Yeah, it's just distorting their perceptions.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry to hijack your point there. Look at this.
No, I enjoyed that. I've been thinking about you a lot lately and your, you know, your story, your backstory to all of this.
Well, Sider Somerset says conspiracy theorists was started by the CIA in the 1960s after the JFK assassination.
Yeah, of course.
He says, I thought. He thought that. I will have to check. Nah. Nobody knew about these people when in the 60s, Mark, whatever, who wrote Rush to Judgment, all these early assassination books were just unique books for a while, for 10 years. Nobody knew. Then when Watergate happened, then people start saying, oh, there can be conspiracies in government. And maybe by Reagan's time, the term came up, but certainly wasn't a term in my life.
People weren't asking questions during the JFK assassination?
Nobody asked any questions. And Mark, whatever his name was, he wrote the first book in 67 or so, Rush to Judgment. There were a few pamphlets by early fringe people, but his book got a lot of attention. He became a senator in New York, or he was a senator, and he wrote his book in the top floor of Murray Gross's home down in Soho that we would have our Finnegan's Wake meetings in. So in the room that we would try to break through the meaning of Finnegan's Wake is where Mark, whatever his last name was, studied the Warren Commission files and wrote the first book.
His dear friend, he was very close to, he can't remember his name though.
No, I never knew Mark. What is his name? Mark something. But anyways, it was done in the room that we were later trying to crack Finnegan's Wake in. See? And Murray Gross, I think, just died about a year ago. Mark Lane. Did you look it up?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark Lane, L-A-N-E. But anyways, it's interesting that we ended up in the home, and especially since I was sort of part of the cover-up of the Kennedy assassination, you know, job, you know.
So can we go there a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
Speaking of JFK, this year is 22 years since the quote-unquote death of John John.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, is JFK, his wife and her sister, they're still amongst us. They're alive.
No, they died. They died.
Ion?
They died. Their Greece is left, but that's all.
The what is left?
Greece.
Mm-hmm. They were cremated and put in little turquoise boxes with white ribbons for a little while? before their ashes were set?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now I noticed that Melania...
Benjamin de Rothschild is dead. That's the more interesting one.
Yeah, I saw that.
What?
Yeah, I saw that.
Rothschild is dead. Just today?
Yeah, 57 years
old. Oh, gee, young guy, heart attack. Uh-oh. Well, you can ask about that. I doubt if Lionel will say anything to you, but we'll find out. But
maybe not yet. Too hot or what?
Yeah, you know the words there. Too hot, eh, Lionel?
It's a little warm.
It's a little, okay.
Nobody gives a shit about the Benjamin de Rothschild. What you need to look at is the Edmund de Rothschild. That's what you need to look at.
Is he still alive? What happened to him? Oh, I remember that name's been around a long time.
Edmund's been dead for longer, about as long as you.
Yeah, Edmund's way back. Yeah. Okay, I'll look at that.
But you got a problem here. Sam is not impressed. He hasn't been in a truck in 7 months, and he doesn't have a truck. Now, Sam, stop thinking in terms of 6 degrees of separation. This wallet could have leaped to another world where the truck is 7 months ago. But it's right beside you.
Or whoever stole your wallet had a nice big truck. A gray Silverado pickup. 2000.
They could have had that. They could have had that. What's your point, Ion? They did have that truck. They could have had it.
No, they could have had it. We were being right specific about it, so...
Right, and he didn't find out, he didn't write any decent questions, he just fucking got lost, and I fortunately brought it up, read his post, and then it got added to, he got more information. See, Sam, you gotta come in here and mix it up with us, just like VT has to.
Or start paying closer attention to your goods when they get on stove.
Yes. So you have, okay, but see, you're going to look up Edmund Rothschild, see if you can get some information about him now, while you're here.
Right now, you mean, on the Wiki box?
No, you. Why don't you ask Ion?
Okay, so when you mentioned, well, never mind about Dan or whatever his name was, it just passed away today, but... Edmund Rothschild, that one, you seem to really perk up on that one, Ion. But what kind of information can you share about Edmund Rothschild?
What you want to know?
Something that really stands out that causes you to bring up his name.
Well, Carolyn brought it up.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, Carolyn brought it up. Now, his brother died about 15 years ago. You know, another young guy just dropped in. Mm-hmm. Maybe 10 years ago, I think we all talked about it. But see, you're not probing well enough. Just start asking questions about it.
Well, there's a pretty deep history with the Rothschild. I don't even know where to start with questions about that.
Doesn't matter. You just start anywhere.
So, what was he in charge of?
Private bank. He started the bank, the private bank.
Okay. Was he the one that dumped his shares about, oh, I forget what it was now.
Napoleon.
And then,
no, Wellington beating Napoleon.
Right. Yeah.
No, that didn't happen. See, Baron Edmund, 1845 to 1934. Was a French member. Now, he'd be a younger guy because his father or grandfather set up the five sons around Europe around the time of the French Revolution. He was a strong supporter of Zionism. His large donations lent significant support to the movement during its early years, which helped lead to the establishment of the State of Israel, where he is simply known as the Baron Rothschild. But what were you just saying? So the Napoleon move, wager, 1815, would be done by, let's see, if he's the grandson or the son. He's the youngest child of James Meyer Rothschild.
Are we talking about Edmunds?
No, yeah, Edmunds, the son of
yep.
James, who lived 1792 to 1868. He was a German-French banker and the founder of the French branch of the Rothschild family. So you then
have to
look at the...
That was Charles Brandon, the third Duke of Suffolk, Bob. You're mixing that up.
Well, you're giving more secret information than Wikipedia. You see, here's how it starts. Okay. It says the Rothschilds rose to prominence with Mayer Rothschild, 1744 to 1812. He was a court factor to the German Landgraves of Hesse Kassel in the Free City of Frankfurt, which was called then the Holy Roman Empire, who established his banking business in the 1760s. Unlike most previous court factors, I could look that up, but I won't right now, Rothschild managed to bequeath his wealth and establish an international banking family through his five sons, who established businesses in London, Paris. So the guy, this Edmund guy, was the Paris gang, the Paris son. And then it was Frankfurt, Vienna, and Naples. That's Roxy's demon angel comes from Naples. The family was elevated to noble rank in the Holy Roman Empire. Did you know they had those terms in the 19th century? And the United Kingdom. But we're talking about the first guy, the father of it all. The family's documented history starts in 16th century Frankfurt. Its name is derived from the family house Rothschild, built by Isaac Elkanan Bacharach in Frankfurt in 1567. During the 19th century, the Rothschild family possessed the largest private fortune in the world, as well as in modern world history. Now, that's not noticing me or the Medicis, right, Ion? That's not accurate, is
correct.
It?
Well, they're saying
that's right.
They're saying the Medicis didn't own the money. The Medicis owned the bank. But it was their money in the bank. But they weren't counting their... That's the reason that the Medicis weren't recognized as the most wealthy. It was their money in the bank, but they saw themselves as depositors in their bank. So they would dilute their funds so you could never attach them. That was what the florins, see, they made their own money with the florins. Remember the florins money?
Yeah, yeah. So the Medici...
They made their own money, so they couldn't own their own money. They took their money and deposited in their bank, which made them depositors. So that bank was the richest in the world, but not the Medicis. They were very clever.
Right, and because
they learned that trick from Lady Catherine Gray.
What did you say? Learned that trick? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say
Lady
that.
Lady Catherine Gray.
Yeah, the Medicis, that were around 300 years before the Rothschilds, they were old hands on how to be hidden. Rothschilds weren't as knowledgeable.
Yeah. That damn Demici money, Catherine wrecked all of France with that bullshit. Yep.
Did you say stealthy?
Yeah, we did. We say words. The young people talk to us, Bob, and then we say words back. And sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't. But we say words, and then they say other words, and. Sometimes they like the words, and sometimes they don't have a truck, and they don't know nothing about a truck. Then they're not sure if it's a red wallet or not, for sure. You know, they don't know. It just all felt like a little information, but it's fun. But tell Bob we'll talk about it again, because he'll forget. It'll be clever for Bob the next time, too. And he becomes very brilliant when he starts regurgitating things that he already knew.
So it says, during the 19th century, they had the biggest fortune, as well as in the largest fortune in the world, as well as in modern world history. The family's wealth declined over the 20th century. That's true. It was divided among many various descendants. Today, their interests cover a diverse range of fields, including financial services, real estate, mining, energy, agriculture, winemaking, and nonprofits. Their buildings adorn landscapes across northwestern Europe. The Rothschild family has frequently been the subject of conspiracy theories, many of which have anti-Semitic origins. Now, LaRouche knew this. He pointed out the turn in taxes, and I don't know if you ever talked about the Medicis, but he knew that there were families that go back to 1,000 years. And so he said the Rothschild Jews were, what do you call those things that the Mexicans beat? Hangs from the ceiling.
Pinatas.
Yeah, the Rothschilds were the
Negroes or pinatas. By which one went?
Yeah, pinata. So the Rothschilds were the pinata for the real oligarchic wealth behind the scenes. So everybody, you know, thought the Rothschilds were the string pullers, and therefore that led to concentration camps and World War II. 6 million dead.
String pullers. Getting
funner.
He's not clever. Listen to Bob. He's talking like
grown
folks. Listen to
him. Yeah, yeah. I'm keeping it simple, buddy. Keeping it simple. So, you see how much we're getting into stuff here that you didn't do, Leah? I've let it
out.
We found out about the Medicis and what they're, how they did it. If I hadn't pushed you, you didn't help me. Once I pushed you, you had to do everything. You're useless. You don't know how to pursue and use ion.
Ask Bob then what he learned about the third Duke of Suffolk.
I know a lot about him. Zappa wrote about him. That's in the
there we go.
Yeah. No, really, he wrote about the Duke of Kent. All these people. So, what do we, Zappa, you know, he had a whole collection of all the Freemasonic books in his home. He looked into Bob knowledge, thanks to me, you know. I intrigued him. What
he
I knew.
Bob Miley.
He looked into Bob Miley.
No. I think that's Bob Seger, Bob. You really liked him, too, Bob Seger.
Yeah, why don't you get off your air flight? What do you call that stuff he's doing? He's in the air. He's landscaping. No, that's gaslighting. No, not gaslighting. What the heck is I doing? What do you call it when he's got a soundscape thing going on? Voicemail or something? When you can talk and you're in the other part of the room.
Oh, yeah. It's a solar government phone. It's a solar government.
It's a solar government instrument.
Leah, the Northern Baptist in a Southern Alabama close to a Southern Alabama home, so this side of Shoal Creek. You get caught in Shoal Creek, you'll think of Baptist. You'll think that's if you get caught in the woods at Concord after dark, you'll think religion, because you better give your heart to Jesus, because your ass ain't leaving the woods at Concord. Just don't go in the woods.
You see where you got yourself, Lee? You're now lost in the woods.
Woo, Lord have mercy.
Yeah, we don't learn anything.
That Talladega National Forest, you better stay on out of there. Don't get up in there.
Where is that forest? Where is it?
Alabama,
okay.
Cleburne County. Cleburne County, Alabama.
Okay, I could talk about that, but I won't. So, okay, Leah.
How do we get back from here now? Yeah, well,
Edmund.
The third Duke of Suffolk. That's how we got there. Come on now.
Right, but we're talking about Edmund, and he goes way back to the 19th century, and we have to look up the present kid who died and see...
be the great-grandson, or grandson, I guess, to be the grandson.
Yeah, and we want to find out about the other guy who died 10 years ago. He got two young people, and the guy who died 10 years ago was in his 40s, I think. So we don't know that, but there's...
One year.
I'm being a responsible journalist, for fuck's sake, okay? That's funny.
Bob is correcting and adjusting himself. And if we had this on camera, he'd probably be picking at his penis right now.
Picking at my penis right now, Leah.
He does that often.
Yeah. Okay, so we got
all this.
What?
I was going to say, so what is all this porn talk relating to, like the corrupt pedophilia human trafficking going on?
Bob's manscaping, or lack thereof.
Okay, you got here Edmund Adolph. He was born...
That's
1926,
the one that died.
So he's probably the... No. He died in 1997.
But he's still dead.
We're trying to find out Edmund de Rothschild group. Does he give a list of his sons? Vineyards, farms,
this
hotels,
guy,
Israel,
became,
death.
This quickly became boring. Go ahead.
Yeah, but we will find out who the recent guy is connected to the guy 10 years ago. But he doesn't give, he kept his share of the company until 1984. We have to find this guy's children. Family. Okay. He was the grandson. Okay, so he was married to a Bulgarian artist in 1958. He married the French actress Nadine somebody, and they had a son. Aha! Born in 1963. 2020. Oh, that's this guy. The guy who died.
Okay, so this isn't Edmund James de Rothschild. This is Edmund Adolf Rothschild?
Yes. Edmund Adolf died in 97, and his son died yesterday, at the age of 57.
Okay.
So we got to see if this guy is connected to the guy who died 10 years ago. But he's not connected with,
his son.
Look,
yeah, so.
Ben is the son of Edmund. Edmund had only one son. It's the problem.
The one that died.
And they're both dead, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I want to find out, so I'll just put in Rothschild dies 2008. Try that. See if something comes up. So Rothschild dies 2008. 1996? Yeah, he's about 40. Yeah, this is the guy. M. Shell Rothschild, 1955 to 1996. That's 41. I remember he was quite young. He was the executive chairman of Rothschild Asset and management of the Rothschild Bank family of England. See? The guy who died today is the French guy, or died yesterday. So, he is, he attended, when he went to Cambridge, he graduated in 1976. His career, he joined the family firm. He was a trustee, the Rothschild Foundation, which supported many projects in Israel. So he was doing what all Rothschilds do, very involved in Israel. What'd you say?
I'm just reading through the,
Amshel. A-M-S-H-E-L, right? That's what you're looking at. Amshel Rothschild?
No,
Edmund. There with Ben. You're with
Adolf.
Ben. I'm looking at Amshel. He's the guy who died, I thought, 10 years ago. He died 24 years ago. And he's the one they couldn't figure out how he died. And it was
okay.
A key time. And it says he had three children. See, now we have to monitor what happens to his kids, born in 1982, 2004, 2005, very young people. How long will they live? 1983.
So this is the guy that just died that you're talking about,
no,
the one
I'm
that
telling
has the
you
two
the
children.
Guy, I'm telling you the guy who died 24 years ago. I thought it was 10 years ago. But it was a big story because he was so young, and he was very big. He ran the English Rothschild Bank. But that's back in the Beter days of the battles between the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, and the Israelis. They basically ended in the late 70s, early 80s, because some part of the Rothschild fortune went public in 1981. And when they go public, it's over. Right, Ion? When you go public, you need money, and you're not doing well. Would you agree with that, Ion?
That's correct. They can't even make Opus One, Bob, so it's kind of like a non sequitur.
Yeah, but point is, when they go public, it's a sign that they're not in the lofty ivory tower of owning their own scene and conspiring all over the planet. They were past that. As Beter said. It's Beter stuff, Leah. Connected to Beter.
Yeah, okay. I'm learning something here.
Yeah. So this Edmund guy is probably, as Ian has said for 10 years, he's nowhere. They don't have much power anymore. You don't have any.
Well, what's a Swiss private bank worth anyway, Bob?
Yeah. What is it worth?
Nothing.
That's right. So, anyways, anybody wants to look into the transitional early death, it's Amshel, A-M-S-H-E-L. Look it up on Wikipedia. He's a colleague of yours, Leah. You were born around 1962 or something, Leah?
61.
Yeah, and this guy is just a few years, the guy who died in 96, he's born in 55. And Edmund was born in 57 years ago. What's that? Well, 60 years ago is 1960. What you're looking at him. When was Edmund built? Born.
Edmund de Rothschild was born 1926.
No, we got to get the son. Because, you know, this guy was only 37. So we're trying to find out who he is. Yeah, he was born in 63. Same age as you, the guy we're looking at right now that's in the news today.
The guy that's in the news today. All right. Okay.
Yeah, it's your generation, 1963.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's way past the heights of the Rothschild fortune. So he's a nobody.
For sure.
And
yeah.
He had things to do, but he had no clout like I have today. Nowhere near what...
Clearly.
What his great-grandfather had. Okay, anyways, what else do you want
Very
to know
good.
About?
Very good. I learned something there. I'll continue to go down that track and look a little further.
Yes, because you were subject to the pop culture level of knowing about the Rothschilds as part of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
You knew that much, but it's not accurate anymore. And one of these guys, Scott McKay, who talks a lot about today, and the Sidney Powell, Lynn Wood world, he talks about we're up against the Rothschilds. See, that shows you that's what he's talking about.
Huh.
Pardon?
I said I've listened to some of this stuff, but I've not heard him mention the Rothschilds.
No, he has. He just recently did. You're going to hear about the guy that they often talk about, Russell J. Gould. He'll be in my private session. He's the guy that claims he's Postmaster General of the Earth. He replaced the King of England. Okay, so there's a lot there to talk about on different times or in tailgate.
Okay.
So, VT, VT, are you phoning in? You going to talk to us, VT?
Yeah, Bob will cough on you. If you call in, Bob will cough on you. He doesn't mind.
Yeah. So, are you finished, Leah? You don't have any more to say, right? You're exhausted.
I had a few other things to ask.
Well, go ahead.
Be all right. Okay. So, Julian Assange, would he possibly be John Trump's son? There's kind of a similarity in the way they look.
No. No, that's too far for even Bob.
So he's not Donald Trump's cousin?
No.
Okay. Is there any validity to Dr. Lu Mengyang's whistleblower information that she's given about the Wuhan lab? I mean, we know that Carolyn released the China virus. She's calling it a biological weapon.
Well, Carolyn said that about Big Pharma for years.
Yeah, true.
Are you talking about Dr. Yin?
Yan? Y-A-N?
Something like that, yep.
Mm-hmm.
You are?
Yeah, I was asking about her legitimacy, her validity of stating that the virus came from the Wuhan lab, and she has defected to the U.S.
What did I say?
But now, yes, we've talked about this already several times, Bob. But where is she now? Nobody can find her now. She went stealthy.
Yeah.
Was she killed?
No. Oops. No. She's protected.
And that's spelled Y-A-N, Leah?
Yeah, Li Men Yan. So L-E-I and then M-E-N-G Y-A-N.
Yes, coming home from the beach, I know a Chinese person, and we got talking, and I found out that she was part of the team that helped Dr. Yan escape.
Ah.
So that person was an interesting person to talk to. So how do I look up this person's name? Dr. Yan, what's her first name?
Lee, L-E-I.
L-E-I.
And then M-E-N-G.
M-E-N-G. M-E-N-G. And then Yan?
Yeah.
I see. There it is. Yes, he says, okay, Ion, does she know something that is accurate?
Well, what a silly opening question. Of course she knows. Okay, now you're going to follow up. Well, yes, Bob, she got the details. She saw what they were doing and how they were doing it.
Right.
So does she show that the Chinese, which the woman who I spoke to yesterday, the Chinese woman said, they believe the COVID is a bioweapon created by the Chinese Communist Party. Do you agree with that?
Yes, but we said that Dr. Dean says modern medicine, Big Pharma, has been a bioweapon for years. So,
yeah.
So that's not saying anything significant.
Well, Carolyn is the one who...
Carolyn.
Yeah, Carolyn's the one who released it. Nobody else released it. You agree with that?
Yes.
Ion, you agree with that? I didn't tell this person yesterday. I was tempted to, but I didn't get that far with her. But we'll see, since Ion is being public about it.
Yeah, she might be a little taken aback by that kind of a statement, Bob. You don't need to tell her.
No, she was quite open to what I did tell her.
You don't know that. She's a spy.
Of course she is.
I have
no problem with that. I'm a spy, Carolyn, for fuck's sake. Come on.
Yeah, but she doesn't have an old broken computer that she's depending on to live for one more day, Bob.
who, the Chinese person or Carolyn?
Yeah, the Chinese person.
Oh, yeah, she's quite functioning. But what are you asking? You're asking Leah.
Okay, so basically,
very timely. No, wait, listen, Leah. Stop. When
okay.
I start saying, you stop.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, you bring up Dr. Li Menyang, Yan, and you wanted to know where she was. right? So you learned a little bit about her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right now. What more do you want to know?
Well, I just wanted to confirm that Carolyn kinetically brought forward the COVID, right, releasing it.
Yeah.
But you're saying that Dr. Li Menyan is legit in saying that it was released via the CCP as a bioweapon.
That's how
correct?
She would see it. She well,
yeah, but
right.
why
angels.
Do you have to do? Why do you have to do the? Why does it have to be a bioweapon? Why can't they just release the COVID-19?
Sure. Yeah.
Because the SARS virus.
Well, why did they release it?
Get, yeah, they didn't. Karen did.
I know.
I didn't.
Finally, after 6 months, that's how much he doesn't listen and doesn't believe anything is being said. But now it's getting serious because I'm meeting with Chinese spies and I'm telling her about Carolyn. This is getting bad for Carolyn. She's going to put her foot down any minute here and tell
she's
her
so
to get back to reality.
Spy, Bob, okay?
What'd you say, Lisa?
And then she's going to
I said, don't
go
to Swalwell and shag the spy.
Yeah.
Okay, I missed that.
Now, stop that. Wait, don't say nothing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, why not?
Wait. Hold on. Bunch of bitches, hold on.
Now, you listen, Cal. This is your world.
Hold on. Stop talking. You're talking too much. What are you saying?
Oh, okay.
Okay, now, try it now. Right now.
Yes.
Right now.
Now, interesting,
now.
Leah, the Lin Yang, Li Meng Yang, doesn't see the angelic work via Carolyn. Nobody sees that.
No, of course
right?
not. Right.
And so, on the practical, stupid level, little people level, it looks like the Chinese communists released it as a bioweapon. But if the angels did it, did the angels release it as a bioweapon ion or as a something that would cause havoc in the world? How would you define that point?
Well, we'd be more esoteric, and if we were Carolyn, we'd jump on you and say, did China invent the first generation of the SARS virus? Did China do the second one all the way up to the 7th layered corona essence SARS infection?
Did Fauci do it?
Yeah.
There you go.
That's right. You're asking the right questions. So from that side, you build up these tolerant levels that the human is so anesthetized. If they hadn't been using these antibacterial things to death, and if they hadn't took all them goddamned antibiotics, this would have been a non sequitur. But instead, they went down that path, and so now this is as weak as water, and this little bitty thing has wiped them out. So now
Wiped who out? That's the thing. We don't know what that is.
The stupid people who are dying.
Because they were weak.
They were weak. It's like the Europeans coming over and giving smallpox to the Indians.
Yeah. Okay, so it's pretty hard, really, who to nail it on, but the Chinese Communist Party can take advantage of that ambiguity and claim Trump did it. So nobody's going to figure it out unless they come here, Leah, and talk to us. And then they have to say, who are these people? And then go to voter fraud to get the bona fides about us. You know what I mean? This is an issue.
I was just going to say, yeah, exactly, like the people that are asking on their voter fraud YouTube channel.
Yeah, the same, those people that, or people have been here like Cider Somerset, they're still trying to figure out who we are.
Mm.
They've been listening for years here. That's what was so funny. We had an archetypal questioning by those people on voter fraud site, which we know people have been thinking that for 10 years. You yourself, when you first heard us, probably wondered if we were demons and all these things that people wonder about us because we do sound rather odd and different. But it
like
this.
Hey, 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 hey.
What?
Who is this superfluous we that you're referring to, Bob?
My team. Remember, I'm a triple agent, buddy. You think I would have invoked you without pre-planning? With a team behind me?
But you can't remember. That's kind of like the dude that now has $200 million. He's got
that never hurt me.
Worth.
I got,
he's got
10,000 years
got
in my background. I didn't know what I was doing, but I still got it.
He's got $200 million in Bitcoin. It started off as nothing, and now it's worth $200 million, and he can't remember his passwords like you, Bob. He's rich and can't get to it.
Well, that's because I've paid more attention to Carolyn lately.
And he's only got three more chances, and if he messes it up, he loses the $200 million forever.
As if I need that. Here I am doling out $1 trillion benefits to the American people. Do I care about $100 million?
That's just so you can sell Revelation Rewrite.
Yeah, I'm just trying to create a market for the truth, the facts. But you see, when you get talking to us, Leah, you have to confront what your believability is, your suspended judgment. Like, there are angels, and these angels are against humans. You got to go through a lot of thinking when you come across us, right?
Mm-hmm.
You probably have done a lot of rethinking
I
of what
have.
You thought you knew. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you're basing it on what you hear here. On an absolute level, you don't know whether this is bullshit or not, but you find it interesting, and you keep, as you should do, is follow the way, think about it as if it's real, and then leave it, and come back to it if we add more to it. That's how you do it. You know, you think about it.
And yet you're still in Canada. It doesn't make very logical sense to us.
Yeah, that's where you're showing your hypocrisy. You should have gotten out of Canada a year or two ago if you actually believe what we said, Leah. You have tried.
It's all in the timing,
You have tried.
It's all in the timing, and I did buy some land in the U.S., so, you know.
Yeah, probably in California. LA, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay, you didn't. That's good.
No, I did not.
But you're asking, I mean, it's very good what you asked, because I probably would have asked that question next week. Having talked to this woman who helped her get out of the country. So I said to her, were you at Tiananmen Square? And she says, yep. She said she was a student at the time. But that's where this network, she considers the CCP very bad people. And they're the Chinese, that generation of Tiananmen Square that got out of China, got jobs around the world, but they're still trying to free up China. And they're part of the Hong Kong gang that Ion was helping. Right, Ion? That's the same network as the Hong Kong freedom humanists, right?
You're whooping dead cats, Bob. Who cares? We did that 100 years ago. Come on.
Yeah, but they're around, and we have to get out of their past. I mean, this woman is conditioned of her life anti-CCP and very involved with what's going on. She got a son who won't hear any of it because the son wants to be a nice surfer and get along in a foreign country.
Ah.
And she lost all of her money because she couldn't get her money from out of New York for her because of her WhatsApp or something ridiculous.
Yeah, the WhatsApp. Yeah, she told me about that many months ago that it was cut off. So where are we at here, Leah? You found out about her, about that network.
Yeah, that's good information. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
And I appreciate you giving me the correct name that
and
you
will
you
have,
to me yesterday.
And will you have Goober find the Silverado pickup truck 2017 so he can get his red pocketbook? Because he left it in the
that? Are you listening,
Ken?
Did you disconnect? Did you go away and miss out? See, people are losers. They don't hang around long enough. They're not patient. So he better post.
Well, you got to hang around. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that's
I hang around even when...
Go ahead.
You hung around even when Ian wasn't here, right?
Absolutely. Hung around even when my ex-partner would come in the room and say, are you listening to that gay southerner again?
Gay southerner.
The gay southerner. That's nice. That was that when Vern was your guest host, Bob?
Yep. He smacked us with the word.
Don't
stigma.
Be talking like that. Carol is not in bed yet, Bob. Do not be talking
the
like that.
The stigma of gay
stigma.
Look at
yeah,
this.
You call Sider anything
Somerset.
You want to.
Sider Somerset has, quote, is Carolyn. You don't know. She's a spy. Bob says, I'm a spy. And then Sider says, that's straight out of a British movie called Carry On Spying. We're doing British
well,
movies,
Carry
Carolyn.
On Spying.
You remember that? The Carry On movies of the 60s?
Yeah.
And then Minimax says, Bob's always had a funny way of being an undercover agent. That's right. You can't tell what I'm covering up.
He's like a cat in the sandbox. He's always covering up something.
Yeah, good point. Okay, so...
Before I let you go, I just wanted to point out or note, say that I had noticed, Ion, in the song that you had Bert read the lyrics to In Excelsis Deo,
yes.
Glory to God in the Highest Degree.
Yes.
That Deo is Air 7.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm-hmm. And I was very pleased to notice that, because that is one of my favorite errors. Yes.
Yeah.
It's very good.
What do you use it for? And when you use it for which purpose? There's the tree. Here comes the rub now. You use it
Getting tight with God.
And what does that mean, getting tight with God?
That means that who am I? Who?
Yeah, that is a Rusty Goodman song. Who am I? And his daughter, Tanya Goodman Sykes, sings it now because he's, of course, dead.
Right. Thank you.
Of course. Okay. Carol has to work with Bert, so very good session there, Leah. Probably the best you ever did here.
You are doing really good,
and thank you for being patient with us. We're hard to work with sometimes.
I am patient.
Thank you. Patient and kind.
Thank you, Ion. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Bob.
Glad to.
All right, very good.
Sure.
Okay, you overworked slave, Bert. Come on in. Who's your games?
Hey, Bob.
How you doing? Killing.
Hey, Ion. Hey.
Lord have mercy, they about blowed us off the lolly to start with all this bullshit. We've been around the mountain and back again and over and under. Bob's got an audience he didn't know he had. He's got followers he didn't believe he could get. He don't know what they said. He'll forget what they read about who he was reading the right, and the scribblings were scribbled, and we got to see the problem with the one that wrote the reading. Did they write the reading right? So I don't know about all that. So it's pretty tough. So you're going to have to be soft with us a little bit to get us greased up a little bit. We blew it kind of early tonight.
But we had to celebrate the return of the music. That was the great thing.
Music.
Celebration.
When was the music? Yeah. There's one song that was...
Don't bring that up with him, Bertie. Ian doesn't have any ear.
Bullshit, some bullshit. A lot of grinding, a lot of wasted energy, a lot of chordal, they weren't in tune, but there were some chordal restraints that kind of got vulgarly propagated, but I guess that's about the amount of it, but yeah, it was
aside
pretty
from
bad.
What I understand, Bert, it was awesome music,
all
right, Bert?
Yes, shit.
Yes, it was.
Zippity doo-dah do shit. It's crazy.
It's been a long time.
It sure has been a long time. They quit playing that stuff on the radio because people were killing themselves. They didn't want to have to go take liability for the death. Yes, and we don't blame. We understand why they would do that. So, yeah. it's certainly viable.
It was a great dose of music, though, Ian.
Now, be easy. Now, be easy. Be easy with it. If you get it greased up, don't be sharp with us.
No, I'm going to have to be.
You curse you again.
I am going
to
be very.
You get from time to time.
Okay, if you say so, Ian, yes. But I'm going to be easy with you because when I re-listened to what you laid on me last week, it's. I have a lot to unpack, so I'm really going to go real easy at you because I'm still unpacking what you threw at me last week. And
okay, well, pick at it. It's like we're going to debride it. Now, why don't we debride it a little bit? Do you know what debriding is?
No, I do not. Let me look at that. That's I was going to say something, but I'd rather look at the actual official. Debriding.
These are gonna be funny.
Inbreeding.
Debriding.
Double barrel butcher knife.
It's a surgical removal of something lacerated, contaminated.
That's
right.
Blanket. Yeah.
Okay.
If there's necrosis, you debride it and you rip off the rotten stuff so you can get good pink tissue and good blood to it so that it can get better. So you rip off the nasty, cut off the gangrene, rip it off and get good pink tissue. So you can have, you can make it better. So we're going to rip the Band-Aid off and tear it up.
Okay. Because when I looked at we listened to our engagement last week. I was like, man, I just said one question and you went for a long time on a lot of items. And so I'm going to go back to my original question I asked you last week about the keys and the airs. And you brought up covalent bonding.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, well, I never really answered what it was. So the question is, when you said that the keys and airs affect covalent bonding, does that mean that the angels attach electrons to the person that's performing the keys and airs? What you mean?
Yes, and that's just exactly what she said earlier with Deo.
Mm-hmm.
That particular air. It's what attaches to it.
Mm-hmm.
That she just brought up. Pretty magical that she would be that insightful, huh?
Ah, so that's it gave you a little more details on the, Dale. Okay. Cool. Yeah, Ian, it's really quite a bit that you, cohesively revealed last weekend. So, like I said, I'm still pulling it out.
That's a pretty word. We don't know what it means, but it's really pretty.
Sticky, which means there's a lot of stuff to what you released last week.
Sticky, oh my God.
That's what that means.
There we go. Now we get into it.
Because, I mean, it was wild. When I went, I'm like, damn, I unanswered my question, but, you gave a lot. Okay, so going now to my next question. I asked you about, ring one being the ground of the autonomic nervous system, and then you brought up the protease inhibitors. But then when I got to re-listening and looking at what you laid out, you brought in about the CD4 and the T count, and then that's when you brought in
T-cell.
Started
T-cell.
Uh-huh. T-cell. And you brought out the light benders. So the question is the protease inhibitor the source of the light bending and the change in the CD4?
No, but it's how it applies.
It applies. So you're saying that's the light bending and the change in the CD4 is how the protease inhibitor applies. That's what you're saying.
Correct.
Hmm.
Carolyn will tip her hat on that one because that actually says a whole lot about how to do the thing that she's very good at. And this is also how they're going to cure. This is applies to the HIV. HIV, AIDS, all that whole world. And what's going to happen is that's how they're going to eradicate it. Well, Karen all but has already, but that's another conversation. But they keep the body from replicating those cellular strata. And so that's another CRISPR thing that Gene's still trying to figure out. And the CRISPR issue then settles it. Now that's how they'll get rid of it. It is a genetic issue. And so this is what Ascension is also, is a genetic issue. And so this is how they'll get rid of that.
Mm-hmm. So there'll be more discussion, because you gave Dr. Dean a lot of accolades and clues as far as also about that protein.
Yeah, we fuck with Dr. Dean. We fuck with her. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Okay, Ion, there was
Excuse me, Ion. Hey, this is cool, calling it a genetic issue.
Yeah.
That's a new word, but it's old in the sense you're talking about the RNA affecting the DNA, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. So.
And once you solve it, what's going to happen is that the same process of ascension is the same process that could change the cell from replicating, say, the viral load of HIV.
Okay.
Same thing. And that's what Trump was talking about when he said, it won't be but in a little bit and we're going to cure AIDS. That's what he meant. That's how he does it.
Because
of your damn work, Dr. Dean.
Damn me. Okay, good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ion. Moving right along.
Protein patterns do not run striatic. They're not striatic. Proteins do not lay out striatically. It's not like mica or gypsum. It's not like that. So that's you should ask the question before that. When you get to that question, that's the answer. Does that help you?
So you're bringing up an answer from a year or so when we were talking about striations, and you just laid out that proteins do not...
Yeah. It applies. It applies to the striation issue, which is what you're fixing to come to. So, you can go ahead. Sorry.
Okay.
We didn't mean to get ahead. It's rude of us to push
No, it's okay. No, it's okay. It's so, okay. You're just always dropping dimes for...
Well, you...
Late,
it's like...
Later
yeah,
questions.
It's like you lay into something, and we take a nickel and put it in the pocketbook, and then we take another nickel, and then the next thing you know, we say good morning, and they slap you in the side of the head with the pocketbook, and the nickels fly everywhere. And we pick up something else instead and put another nickel in the pocketbook and start all over again.
Hey, okay, Ion. Last week,
dynamite.
Yeah, bang. Hey, Ion, you laid out something also last week about some new information that emotions can change the CD4, and that reminded me of that reminded me. You said
Carolyn
that was new,
can
but
tell that, you that. That's muscle. That's the Carolyn's stupid muscle testing stuff. But it also, how you feel about something, they talk about a cancer treatment that used to find very, very, very appropriate is people would change their condition by watching like silly comedies like Three Stooges or The Lucy Show or something silly. Just only watch, you know, Martin and Rowan, you know, that's laughing.
Mm-hmm. Or
something like that. Then it would change your mind to such a degree that they wouldn't have the cancer no more because they were just busy being jovial and laughing all the time.
That was Norman
it changes
Cousins. Norman Cousins
what about
popularized
Norman?
That. He popularized the laughing cure.
Okay.
He was an American journalist kind of guy.
Yeah, congratulations. Bob knows something. Who? He remembered.
I remember that name, Norman Cousins. Yeah. I remember that name.
Yeah.
And it works because all it does is it changes the frequency, because everything is frequency, remember? So this is what changes that frequency. Well, the same thing is true with ascension. The same thing is true with other levels and degrees of what you call morbidity, because it's not judged the same way. Well, that's what the scriptures tell you to do, too, to take your clothes off when you go to the scriptures. So it's not odd that it would come across or come out that way, that it's a contingency that allows the body to respond. It's a contingency.